Good evening and welcome to Italian Impact Weekly. I'm your co-host Steve Stefano Mancini.
And my name is Claudio Relsano. And as always, we appreciate you tuning into our show. Steve, what's going on?
Claudio, not much. But by not much, I
that's
mean
not true for
a
you.
Lot. I know, yeah. I know. I've been teaching full-time now. I'm about to finish my first year of teaching. And then I took a consulting job.
Oh.
And then don't forget, I'm doing the documentary.
Okay.
And then don't forget, I got these shows to do. So,
that's why we connected to begin with.
You know what?
With.
That's
we
right.
Do
we're doers.
Things.
So yeah. People, again, I loved your point about, you know, people say, I don't have enough time. I'm enough time. Like, hey, listen, I still found myself sitting on the couch yesterday watching TV doing nothing. So, you know, you can be busy. And I'm not saying, you know, put yourself in an early grave. But I think we can probably do more than we do. And I still believe that at some point you're going to, you know, you don't ever want to look back and go, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
That's right.
That's just been my philosophy.
I like to check mark all the boxes. Yeah. Dan Marino, what's he say? You can do more, you can always do more.
You know, it's right. Funny because I had somebody tell me, and this will be kind of a nice segue into our guest, and they said that a bucket list is a distraction by the devil because it keeps you focused on the wrong kind of things, if you will, like these material, you know, like, oh, I got to go here, I got to go here, I got to do this. You know, it's kind of like, hey, what's the real reason you're doing that? Just to say you did? And some reasons, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But sometimes I do wonder if we don't get sucked into coulda, woulda, shouldas unnecessarily, I'll say. So
the only bucket I had is during the rainstorm. I had my roof for 2 years. It was good, not a little leak. But for me, I never did the bucket list thing. I do more like the Chuck Knoll thing. After he won the Super Bowl, what are you doing now? Well, we're going to try to win another
exactly.
one.
Exactly. I don't plan this stuff out. If something falls into my lap, though, yeah. And I go, that's pretty good.
Do it and move on.
I have a hard time saying no.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a very special guest today. I was on his great show called Catholic Sports Radio a few weeks ago. I really enjoyed that. His name is Bruce Wozniak. He is also very active in the Catholic community, which I know a lot of you Italians who listen to the show are very Catholic as well. He also worked in the NHL for years, pro indoor lacrosse. He's done many things, just as Steve and I were just saying. We do a lot of things, and so is our guest today. Welcome, Bruce Wozniak. Bruce, what's going on?
Thank you, guys. Great to be on your show.
Well, great to have you on. And again, I really appreciate you having me on your show. You know, the first question about Catholic Sports Radio, did you come up with that project because you wanted to talk sports and your obviously your faith? Or was it like, for example, Sylvester Stallone said, I used the movie Rocky as a vehicle of expression. I just couldn't go out there and say, hey, everybody, don't give up. So I had to use a story behind it. Are you using sports to let people know about your Catholic faith and about the Catholic faith?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but the real first question should be, because your audience is going to go, why does he have this guest on with this big, long Polish last name? But I am half Italian, so let's make sure we get that out of the way first and get that on the record, because, you know, if anybody in the Italian side of my family hears this interview, they're going to go, Bruce, what happened? You disrespected us.
There you go. And we'll get to that. As a matter of fact, Steve, we had a guest last week. Steve was begging the guy, do you have any? Is your neighbor Italian?
Did you go out and get a pizza a couple of weeks
something.
Ago? Give you something.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good stuff. Yeah. You know, Catholic Sports Radio is, for openers, I always like to tell people what it's not. I don't report scores. I don't talk about wins and losses and statistics. It's the intersection of your faith life and sports life. So what I'm using it for is to show people a couple of things. Number one is the faith side of these people that are being interviewed, but I'm also, my bigger mission is to remind people that sports are great, that there's a lot of wonderful characteristics to sport, things like teamwork, like physical fitness, like good sportsmanship, the lessons that you learn, but we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. Unfortunately, we get a little carried away with our fanaticism, and all of a sudden, sport kind of becomes, you guys were talking about, you know, free time, and is there such a thing as making time to sit on the couch? Well, we all seem to be able to carve out time to watch our favorite team, whether it's Sunday afternoon football or MLB. My gosh, you can watch for days and weeks and months because they play so many games, you know, similar thing with hockey and basketball. But do we carve out that kind of time? Do we go out of our way to really make sure that we're making our faith a priority? Or is it well, what do you mean? I go to Mass on Sunday. Yeah, that's 1 hour in the week, and then what are you doing?
Well, the irony, Bruce, that you said that, because I was, years ago, I used to coach hockey, and I coached a lot of travel hockey, and I coached in a junior, so we were traveling every weekend. And it's funny because in hindsight, I'm not going to sit there and say I didn't miss a lot of Mass because of sports. But it took me years later when I realized, I said, there's really no excuse. But you said something kind of important, you know, oh, it's 1 hour. The problem is most people won't even give an hour. Hell, I'd be happy if people gave an hour, you know, because I'm a devout believer, and I make it a point to go to, you know, Eucharistic adoration. You know, I try and, you know, go to Mass regularly. You know, I'll try. I go to Mass regularly, go to other, you know, other sacraments, like reconciliation. Because later on in life, and I think a lot of this comes down to, I think we hit a crossroads. And I think there's a point in our life where we become more introspective and we say, what's really important? Like, what do I believe? And it's almost at the same moment you realize you're not immortal. And then you have to decide, okay, once I've realized I'm not immortal, you know, do I just, you know, live a carefree, I don't care life? Or do I say, I think there's something more, and you get a deeper, you know, a deeper experience out of that? Because you talked about the fanaticism of sports. The one thing I've noticed, let me your thoughts on this, because you also said, I don't talk stats. You're right. There is 10 million shows saying the exact same thing, talking about the same thing, just regurgitating stats, 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 stats. And everything is about gambling, 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 gambling. And we basically dehumanized it. Is that kind of what you're trying to do? You're trying to put the humanity back in the sports so we can throttle back a little bit? Like, what's your thoughts on all that?
Well, you know, I remember way back when, and for your audience, I've been doing Catholic Sports Radio every week for more than 5 years now. February of 2019 is when I started. And I remember episode 4, still to this day, for a couple reasons. Number one, it's somebody that I got to know over the years. He was the head coach of Team USA that won the gold medal at the 2004 Olympics in women's softball. His name is Mike Candrea. He coaches at the University of Arizona. And he said on that interview exactly what you just said, Steve, which is, what kind of message are we sending when we're scheduling these tournaments in conflict with when we're also telling our kids, hey, you need to go to Mass on Sunday? Well, which is it? We're going to the ball field or we're going to Mass? And so he said that as a coach, he makes it a point to not do that. And I'm like yourself. You know, I was traveling so much internationally over the years that I was working in the Olympic movement that I was having to really kind of put some effort into finding, okay, where is the closest Catholic church and what time is the Mass that I can do it and still make sure that I'm doing the obligations that my employer has me there for. Now, to answer the final part of what you said, I think that a lot of the guests that I have spoken to have found it refreshing that they can come on a quote-unquote sports show and talk about the very things that you're pointing out, about the ability to be more wholesome, about not having to focus on, sure, a lot of them are getting the big contracts, but they're not coming on to Catholic Sports Radio to talk about their latest contract. They're not coming on my show to talk about incentives. They're not coming on to talk about these very things that have kind of spun out of hand. And I love hearing a lot of them give really practical things that we can all do, I'm going to say in our everyday life, but for people who are involved in sports, whether that's player, coach, referee, umpire, administrator, there's so many great suggestions that guests have made over the years of things that they are doing to bring their faith life into their sports life. And what I really like about these ideas that they give is they're nothing revolutionary. They're nothing that takes a huge amount of time and effort and detracts from the routine that people get into in sports. So, like I said, at the same time, I think they find it refreshing to be able to come on and talk about that instead of answering the same old questions about their career on the ice, on the field, on the court, et cetera.
Now, Bruce, you know, and that's fantastic, and I'll tell you why. And by the way, for our listeners, this isn't about trying to convert you to the Catholic faith. However, come on aboard. It's a great ship. But in all seriousness, it's about better people. And I'm not saying that because they're Catholic, they're better people. What I'm saying is people that have a true belief in their faith. Okay. And I've always said this. In fact, if you listen to my other show, the Pentecost Today USA podcast I do, I said, I'll never debate the existence of God because I firmly believe that we can scientifically prove that there is a being. I will debate which religion is right. That's why I said I believe Catholicism is right, but at the same time, you know, there might be somebody who says, no, Judaism is right because it really wasn't the Messiah, or Islam might say, you know, Muslims are saying, you know, hey, we're right, whatever. I won't debate that with you because that's a different kind of conversation. But what I think the most important thing is having a set of spiritual beliefs, in theory, should make you a more, and again, I use this word importantly, introspective. Because if you can't look at yourself, you can't be a better person, both, you know, to the other ones around you in a personal manner, but also in the way you play sports. I coached for years, Claudio's been coaching for years, and you've been involved in the sports. And how many people have failed because of their attitude? They were missing something. And I'm not saying you're guaranteed if you're a more religious person, you're going to automatically be a pro. No. But what I'm saying is if you're a more introspective person who cares about something greater, you're not going to get sidetracked by all that other noise, which happens to so many athletes. And the media loves it when the train crashes. So, you know, Bruce, I'm curious. You probably have that conversation with a lot of folks, I'm assuming. Not the train crash, but the people that don't make the news because their train has not crashed, figuratively speaking, obviously.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, and again, it's amazing that I'm going this far back in the show's history, but in the very first year of Catholic Sports Radio, there was a hockey player that I talked to, and there is a Christian networking group that I'm a part of, and I remember when I did this interview with this hockey player, and I asked him, well, what about in the heat of battle when the temptation is there to use foul language and to really let the spirit of the game take over? And as I was telling this at my Christian networking group, somebody cut me off and looked at me like I was crazy and said, well, you know, all that goes out the window when you're on the ice, and, you know, you just... You react at the time that these plays are developing. And I said, well, if you let me finish, that's not what the guest said. And he was taken aback because the hockey player said, I realize that there are kids who might be sitting near the glass that I am supposed to be a role model for. And if I'm using foul language out on the ice, well, there's a really good chance that that's going to happen in close enough proximity that I'm going to wrongly influence some young people. And so, yeah, I love, Steve, when I get to talk to these people who are on the right track and who are realizing that they might, quote-unquote, just be going out to coach rec league softball, but they also know that, hey, those kids are looking up to their coach, right? And Claudio can talk about this for days, but they realize that they are there not only to teach the fundamentals of the game, but to teach life lessons and to set an example. So if they start screaming at the referee, all of a sudden the players start thinking it's okay to scream at the referee. And the same thing for the parents. You know, this is a show. I'm glad you said you don't have to be Catholic, because I always tell people you actually don't have to be Catholic to listen to Catholic Sports Radio, and you don't have to be a sports fan, because we're not getting so into Catholic faith that it's going to be over your head, and we're not getting so into X's and O's and strategies and statistics that you're going to be lost. So if parents are listening to the show, there's good lessons for their kids, but there's also good lessons for the parents so that they're not the ones sitting in the stands hollering at the referee or screaming at the coach, why isn't my kid getting more playing time?
Bruce, a lot of things to unpack from what you said and from Steve's great question. Number one, when we had Mario Andretti on and Jerry Cooney, the boxing icon, we didn't ask them, I don't think we asked them about one race or one fight. And they both appreciated that, because it was always, oh yeah, you won the Indy, or you fought, you knocked out Ken Norton. We talked about life, and they liked that. It was refreshing. The other thing that you said about the hockey player not swearing, Bruno Sammartino, the legendary wrestler, would never take a, he wasn't a drinker, but at home he'd, you know, have a little wine, but he would never drink in public, because he said, if a kid sees me and he looks up to me, then he may drink. He was very cognizant of who he was, and I always appreciated that. And then, you know, you talked about, you know, coaches. I'm just saying how I do it, and I don't know how many. There's plenty of them who do, plenty of them who don't. I always say, if all I do is teach my players how to hit a ball, throw one, and catch one, I didn't do my job. But I'm starting to see that not as many as used to want that. So I'm going to have to have a little talk with a few players and say, if that's not what you want, you can leave, to be very honest with you, because I'm not going to change. I've done well with the way I've been doing it. And I don't mean on the field. I mean off the field. I've had impact on people because that's something that's important to me. And then the other thing was my appearance on your show. Before I asked the question, I just unpacking a lot of things that you said. My appearance on your show, it wasn't the same old, same old. You did ask me questions that I usually don't get, and I enjoyed that, and hopefully your listeners will enjoy it as well. Now, with what you're doing, it seems to be okay to criticize the Catholic religion, entertainers, politicians. It seems that's okay to do that. I don't think it is, but Steve didn't criticize anybody a minute ago. He said everybody does their thing. Okay, he believes his thing, you believe yours, that's fine. But with your show, have you received any pushback, or have your listeners received? No, I'm sorry, your guests received any pushback about what they said, or some of the questions, or whatever?
By the way, it's great that you had on both Mario Andretti and Jerry Cooney. They were both on my show as well, and Mario Andretti, when I first contacted his camp, they wrote me back and said, he's not qualified to be on your show. And I said, yes, he is. And I did my research and found out why there was enough Catholicism to bring out of his story that we could talk about it. So they ended up saying, okay, he'll do it. And Mario was wonderful. And Jerry also. Jerry and I were meeting for the first time. And as we're ending the interview, he says, okay, I love you, buddy. And I think, how beautiful is that for people to hear two guys who've just met each other that by the time 30 minutes is done, that kind of statement is being made. And as far as, guests and pushback and things like that, I think that the closest thing I've heard to criticism is people who ask me continually, but why just Catholic? But why are you only interviewing Catholics? When are you going to have Tim Tebow on? You really should expand the show more. You probably could get a lot more guests, and you probably could get a lot more listeners. And I always say, Catholic is all I've ever known, and I hope that somebody does go and start Lutheran Sports Radio, and I hope someone does go and start Methodist Sports Radio, and I hope someone does go and start Baptist Sports Radio. But Catholic is all I've ever known, so why not do it that way? And on the flip side, not criticism, but I've actually seen very, very recently, Annie Agar is a sports content creator who really became famous, social media famous, during the pandemic. She creates these wonderful videos that, as someone who's a little bit of a content creator myself, I can tell that she puts an absolute ton of time into those. And we did an interview in February, and she picked Easter Sunday as the day to announce it. And all of a sudden, there was so many people that were saying, wow, I like this girl even more now. I already thought she was great, and how wonderful it is to see that she's got this side of her that we didn't know about. So I don't know that people are necessarily coming under criticism. I happen to be on the side of I agree. We should not be using these platforms to criticize. It's part of the reason that I launched Catholic Sports Radio, among many others, is, we know as Catholics that so many people have fallen away from the church. So if this helps one more person, two more people, 10 more people to go back to church, well, then I'm thankful that my show was used as the vessel for that to happen. But who am I to go on my own show and use it as a outlet to criticize the Catholic Church? I don't believe in doing that. So I haven't done it, and I don't intend to do it.
Well, Bruce, by the way, as you are well aware, like the good book says, that if you can get one sinner to repent, you've basically saved your own soul. So I'm 1,000% in agreement with you. Like I said, the other podcast I do, we've been blessed. They've been downloaded all over the world by thousands and thousands of people. And I'm thinking, right, if I reach just one person, it might undo the thousands and thousands of years I probably owe in purgatory for my foul language, because I was a hockey coach for years. And I'll tell you something, because you made me think of something. I was a coach for years, and I coached competitively. I coached juniors, and I coached lower college level. I coached a lot of travel hockey. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I didn't swear and curse and do that. You're a teenage boy. You're 16, 17, 18. And at the time you're doing it, you think this is normal. They're doing it. You're doing it. The parents are doing it. Sometimes the parents are the worst ones out there. In fact, I used to say it for years. They should have these games, should not allow parents into the rinks. They should have to go watch on a closed caption monitor because of some of the things they would say. And to your point, that the kids hear this. And you know what? Then I started coaching girls travel hockey for a couple of years. And you know what? I didn't swear. And that taught me something. One, I said, I don't want to do that in front of the girls. I said, I'm just not going to be that guy in front of the, you know, these are 16, 17, 18-year-old girls. I don't want them to see a guy that's sitting there yelling and screaming like a raving lunatic. Boys, I don't care. I do now. But at the time, I'm thinking, hey, these guys, it's the alpha male, and I need to, and this is the way I've got to keep control. And in some cases, I needed it. And some of those kids will come back and say, yeah, I kind of needed you to scream because nobody was giving them the discipline. But that goes back to something, you know, this is a word that gets thrown around a lot, role model. Athletes, whether they like it or not, you don't have to call them a role model, but you know they're being emulated. So when I see the athlete do something, and I'm a young kid, whether the athlete likes it or not, there is some kid that's going to emulate me. So whether it is a good thing or a bad thing, there is somebody that's going to follow what I did. So if I see me do a good check and I blow someone up and put my elbow up and just knock the guy out, everyone's going to go, oh, that's awesome, and they're going to share the video, and you're going to have at least one kid who's going to go out and do that. Or we're going to run up from the boards, or they're going to scream something at the ref. Well, you know, my parents are yelling at the ref, or the coach is yelling at the ref. Yeah, you're right. This ref's a bleepity bleep, and they're going to start screaming. So whether athletes like it or not, they can say, I don't want to be a role model. Okay, fine, don't be a role model, but you're going to be emulated. So, you know, thoughts on that. Yeah.
Yeah. As husbands and as fathers, you know, there's a similar scenario when you do go to church in the morning and then you come home and become a different person and turn into this raging lunatic when you're watching an NFL game, because the domestic violence that we hear about that takes place, the kids who are in the same room watching that football game with you and watching you turn into a completely different person than who was in church earlier that day, you know, there's an opportunity there to live out the gospel. There's the saying, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. And so if you come home from church and you watch the NFL game and you root for your team in a civil manner, then that's only going to trickle down. And if you have company over and you establish that I'm the leader of this house and this is the way we conduct ourselves in this house, that's going to command some respect. And it's kind of like Claudio was saying, you know, there's a couple guys on the team that if you don't like it, well, maybe this team isn't for you. And if you don't like that we're pretty civil when we watch football around here, well, then maybe, you know, you go watch it somewhere else on Sundays. Although we can spend hours on the fact that, you know, isn't that an opportunity to minister to those folks and try to get them, you know, to see it and behave in a more Christian-like manner themselves. But I think you see my point.
Oh, no, absolutely. And the apple never falls far from the tree. So contrary to people say this, well, I don't know how that could be like that. Well, again, you don't live with the family, so you don't know what happens in the home. Bruce, we're going to take a quick little break because we've got to pay the bills, and Claudio has a lot to say. So, folks, please stay tuned for Bruce. We're going to be right back.
Remember, you can hear all our shows on ItalianImpactWeekly.com and on CRSMmedia.com and hear such great guests as Mario Andretti, Vince Ferragamo, Vince Papale, Chris Corciani, as well as many successful businessmen and women in the Italian community. If you're looking to promote your business, please contact us at questions@ItalianImpactWeekly.com. Not only can we air your commercials, but we can produce one for you as well. We promise to get you as much publicity as we can at a great price. Don't forget about my show, The Claudio Relsano Show, and here are such great guests as Rocky Blyer, Jim Rooker, Sid Bream, Dick Vermeil, Ken Griffey Sr., Robin Cole, Mario Andretti, Vinny Pazienza, and we also kind of changed our format a little bit, and we're talking more business and life on that show, so please tune in to that show on ClaudioRelsano.com. Our new show, Real Baseball Talk with John Parato and myself, you can hear that show on CRSMmedia.com as well. And we talk just what it says. We talk real baseball. We don't give all the same old, regurgitate the same old stuff. We kind of delve in. We separate the curtains and tell you what's really going on. Don't forget about my book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Positive Winning Culture on the Field and in the Office. You can get that at Barnes & Noble in Robinson Township, as well as BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and ClaudioRelsano.com. May 18th, Let's Party for KC Golf Event hosted by Kennedy Catholic Family Schools. Wonderful school. I did a speaking engagement there a couple months ago. Wonderful people. Great school. It will be held at Tam O'Shanter Golf Course, May 18th, 9 a.m. shotgun start. It's located at 2961 South Hermitage Road in Hermitage, Pennsylvania. Only $125 per player. I will be there. Please contact Maria Metters at 330-559-8891. Once again, that's May 18th. Call Maria at 330 330- 859-8891. And one more thing for me before we get to Steve's documentary. Coming up on our show, ItalianImpactWeek.com, is Sean Stellato, the NFL agent. You've seen a lot of him during the past NFL season. Wonderful, wonderful guy. Great agent, and you're going to see more of him in the next couple of weeks due to the draft. But you're really going to enjoy that interview. As they say, you know, he had me at hello. He really did. He's a wonderful guy, and I can't wait to have him on the show. Steve?
All right, folks, and don't forget, I'm going to be releasing a documentary here in the next few months. You can see the trailer out on YouTube or go out to our website at ItalianImpactWeekly.com. And it's a documentary which chronicles the life stories of the Italian prisoners of war that were kept at Letterkenny Army Depot during the Second World War. And they left a lasting tribute, a beautiful chapel that was built in response to some very tragic events. So again, it's a story of hope, because when you see the conditions on which they built the chapel and the reason why, it's a very inspirational story. So again, that's going to be out over the summer, but you can go out and watch the trailer out on YouTube. It's called Fedeltà, Prisoner, Soldier, or you can go out to our website at ItalianImpactWeekly.com. Thanks to Greater Pittsburgh Travel. For any of your travel needs, let Tom and the team at Greater Pittsburgh Travel know, and they'll take care of you. For more information, call 412-331-2244 or visit their website at www.greaterpittsburghtravel.com. For all of your plumbing needs, be sure to try Pellucci Plumbing. Nick and the team have decades of experience and will get you back up and running. For more information, call Pellucci Plumbing at 412-782-5050. And we want to thank the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. If you're interested in learning more, you can find their contact information on Facebook at Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. Again, thanks Domenica and the team at the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh for your support. And we want to thank La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei, the only nonprofit school in Pittsburgh endorsed by the Italian Consulate. If you're interested in learning Italian or have your children being immersed in the Italian culture and language, be sure to give them a call at 412-404-7070. And that's La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei. We'd also like to thank Chris Gonzalez from the Knights of Columbus. If you have any questions about joining the Knights of Columbus, reach out to Chris Gonzalez at 412-605-9074.
All right, we're coming back with Bruce Wozniak, but I forgot to mention the Boxing Authorities, boxing's best TV show. You can check us out on keepboxingfree.com with Luther Dupree Jr., Smokin' Jim Frazier, and myself. There's an old saying, he who has a thing to sell and goes and whispers in a well is not apt to get the dollars as he who climbs a tree and hollers. So promote. So we got to promote.
Promote.
All right. Okay, Bruce, now, you've done some work in the NHL and pro indoor lacrosse. Tell us about that work and some of the experiences that you had, maybe good and not so good.
Well, I had, unfortunately, a great number of not-so-good experiences. As much as I am a 100% devoted Tampa Bay Lightning fan, I was actually working for the Buffalo Sabres many years ago, and this was at a time when, I don't want to say everything that could go wrong did go wrong, but during the time that I was there, things happened along the lines of, that's when the Jumbotron fell from the roof to the ice. That's also when Dominic Hasek was the Sabres goalie and he choked a reporter in the hallway after a game. That's also when the longtime founder and owner of the team passed away. So as someone who worked in the PR department, we had more than enough case studies in crisis communications. And I laugh because over the years, when I moved to Florida, a guy that I used to work with at the Sabres said, so you're a Lightning fan now? And I said, oh, yeah, absolutely. And he couldn't get over it. So his next question was, Sabres and Lightning meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. Who are you rooting for? And I said, Tampa Bay. And he says, oh, my gosh, you didn't even stop and think about it. I said, no. I said, I'm a Lightning fan now. And he said, sign the papers and everything. I said, wow. Yeah, that's right. I'm devoted to the Lightning. So there was a lot of interesting things there, but you know, the indoor lacrosse thing was really interesting because I was someone who grew up just crazy about hockey and loved, to me, getting hired by the Sabres was like a boyhood dream come true. And yet all of a sudden they told me internally at one point, hey, we're going to bring this pro indoor lacrosse team to town and we want you to be the PR director for it. And I smiled and nodded and said all the right things. And quietly, under my breath, I was, pro indoor lacrosse? What the heck is this? I don't know anything about this sport. And guys, I fell in love with it so much. We had sold out crowds, the same arena where the Sabres played in. I got 3 championship rings with the team and ended up falling in love with it so much that there was a change in the ownership structure of the league. They moved to the league office, and I was the first person they hired. I was the vice president of public relations at the league office because that's how much I fell in love with pro indoor lacrosse that I actually walked away from working in the NHL. Now, after 3 years, they decided we want to move the office to New Jersey. And at the time, I told my first wife, I said, well, you know, we've always talked about relocating, and if ever there was a time to do it, it's now. And pretty much the only place we'd ever even talked about was Florida. So off I went to Florida, and a year and a half later, I ended up getting hired by the International Softball Federation, the world governing body for the sport of softball, and that's what sent me to two Olympic Games. It's what sent me to, I think it was something like 17 countries in 10 and a half years, some of them more than once, and have really just become so passionate about softball. Now, granted, when you get to see it played at the highest level like I did around the world, all of a sudden it makes a really, really big impact on you. And so to this day, I still broadcast University of Tampa women's softball games. I broadcast University of Tampa men's and women's lacrosse games. And so between those and Catholic Sports Radio, you know, I like to say that I'm still very much a part of the sports world, even though it might not be my full-time job.
Now, let me ask you, when you were 18, 19, 20 years old, is this where you thought you would end up? I mean, is this kind of what you were planning?
18, 19, 20, that was, you know, college years. And yeah, I was actually going, I was a media communications major, and my concentration was in broadcasting. And it's interesting because the big lesson that I learned over the years, I used to be the kid in class who they would sit there and they would tell you, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I would puff my chest out and say, well, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to get good grades and I'm going to get good jobs because of how smart I'm going to be. And I caught a lot of really good breaks. I go and talk to college classes nowadays and I say, I am a bad example. Like, what happened to me, this is not the way that it normally happens. So the fact that I got an internship and then got hired by the Sabres to work for them, don't count on that. But I did end up finding out over the years that it is, in fact, who you know and how important networking is and all the connections that you make. So interestingly enough, even though I really kind of pursued the PR road, broadcasting just continued to follow me around. I was being flown up to Columbus, Ohio to do television broadcasts of the pro indoor lacrosse team up there. Over in Orlando, because I live in Tampa, over in Orlando, there was a pro lacrosse team there. They were having me come over there, and I was either on the TV broadcast or when it was a non-televised game, I was on the ESPN radio broadcast of those. And when I was working in international softball, my gosh, I was doing broadcasts of games down in Venezuela for Women's World Championship. So as much as I was telling everybody, I'm a PR guy, I've pursued public relations now, I don't do broadcasting, I've still continued to do broadcasting in some way, shape, or form all these years. And I like to include podcasting in that as well.
Bruce, tell us, did Steve said the word, you said the word, I said the word impact. Were there any guests that had something they said or they did or how they were had a little impact on you?
You know, I think, Claudio, that some of those lessons that I mentioned earlier, some of the tips that people give out, I think those have really stuck with me because there have been times when I've been interviewed and people have said, well, like what? Like, what are some things that we can all do in our everyday sports life to bring our faith into it? So obviously those lessons have stuck with me. I get a little caught up, I admit it, in telling people about the fact that Mark Wahlberg has been on my show, that Mario Lopez has, you know, some of those high-profile people, Lou Holtz. And it's not that their interviews were not impactful. I just think that it is the guy next door, the girl next door, who you may not have heard of, but when you listen to their testimony, you go, wow, that's really impactful. And to sit on the phone, to sit on Skype, whatever it is, you know, and listen to somebody that I can't see them, but I can tell that they're getting, sometimes they'll say, I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, but to listen to them do that, that really humanizes people, and I think it makes them more relatable. So, you know, in terms of actual names, I don't know, because like I said, I think it's number one, I've been blessed that there's been so many of them. Phil Cuzzi is a Major League Baseball umpire that I think of, who did some great storytelling and was bordering on tears as that interview went along. But Phil Cuzzi is one in I should say 272 because of the number of episodes I've released as of the day that the three of us are talking. But just so many people that have had some really, really powerful stories. And I really feel blessed that these people feel comfortable enough making themselves vulnerable and opening up with some of the stories that they have shared. Because some of it is pretty darn personal, and maybe it's therapeutic for them, or maybe they realize that everything happens for a reason. And in their case, the reason might be, as you said before, if one person hears this, Steve, right? If one person is moved by testimony that somebody gives, well, then it was worth those tears. It was worth the pain to share that story with Bruce and his audience.
Well, I believe in a ripple effect. I believe if you change one person, hopefully they'll change one person, and they'll change one person. And I know this sounds cliche, but it really does start with one person at a time. You can't fix everybody overnight. You know, you can't boil the ocean, so you just do it a little bit at a time. And I think every time we have a conversation like this on, you know, something positive, like Claudio and I, when we were going to do this show, we said, this isn't going to be just one of those gotcha, noisy, you know, ridiculous shock shows. We wanted to have a positive, you know, entertain people, have a positive impact on people's lives, have them walk away from the show feeling good, not, you know, pissed off and angry at the world, like all the politics and everything, you know, or there's social justice and everything. And it's so divisive. And again, all we're doing is waiting for people to just train wreck so we can go, I gotcha as a society. And it makes it seem like everybody's like that. But the truth is everybody isn't like that. Because if you have more shows that are promoting the positive qualities of people, then people go, you know what? I don't have to be like that. You know, I can be a professional athlete and not have to go out and buy the most expensive car, you know, with 10,000 rings and necklaces and act like a fool. I can actually be normal. And, you know, a lot of that, it's going to stem from whoever your influence was. And you know, one of the things Claudia and I always like to talk with guests about is we talk about their growing up influence. So you said you were half Italian, but I mean, that's important on this show, but you know, it's not completely important, but I am curious, you know, what kind of impact did Italian culture have an impact on you growing up, or was it someone else in your life that kind of helped you become the person you are?
Yeah, you know, I think of my Italian grandfather. He had a fruit and vegetable stand at an open air market in Buffalo for years and years and years. And when we were kids, we would work for him, and you would be there all day on Saturday. I'm talking something like 6 in the morning till 5 p.m. And he would tell us, when you're here, I'm your boss. At 5 o'clock, then I'm your grandfather, right? So he was already teaching us that work ethic and basically trying to say that, you know, family is great, and yes, we all love each other and we can all have a good time together, but, you know, life isn't always just going to be all smiles and fun and, you know, eating big meals together. There's got to be work. There's got to be effort. There's got to be lessons and getting your hands dirty. And so, you know, I was so grateful for him. And I also looked at how hard he worked, you know, what he did to provide for my grandmother and to give her a great home and a great life, even though he was gone all the time because he worked so darn much at that market. And I think that sets a really good example. Now, at the same time, he did everything that he could to make sure my parents would tell him, you know, Bruce has a basketball game on Friday. Okay, I'll try to be there. And, of course, you know, my parents were always there, you know, for basketball games. I was on the bowling team. I mean, whatever sport was playing, my parents were making sure that they were doing whatever they could to support us. You know, again, my dad's same example. My dad working so hard to make sure that he provided for our family. And my parents together making sure that we were as a family at Mass together every Sunday, went to Catholic school. I was actually the first kindergarten class at the Catholic school, so I only had to go to two schools. I went to that school, St. Paul's, from kindergarten to eighth grade, and then we became the first ninth grade class at the high school. The high school was a public school. It wasn't Catholic, but, you know, by then, we'd been so ingrained into our Catholic faith that it was kind of a no-brainer that nothing changes just because we're going to public school now.
Okay, Bruce, what's next for the show, and are your goals for the show? And lastly, tell everybody how they can tune in.
What's next for the show is I'm excited that there's a couple of sponsors that are finally interested in coming on board. I've been a one-man show just doing it by myself with no sponsors, and I don't get any income from doing it. for 5+ years. And that's fine, you know, because I didn't do this to make money. At the same time, you know, there are a lot of bills to pay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited that there's a couple of companies that have expressed some interest in coming on board as a sponsor. I also take great pride in having never missed once in 5 years, every week having done the show. So to me, what's next is continuing that streak. So I take great pride in that kind of dedication and keeping that verbal contract that I have with the audience that there will be a new episode every Monday. And as far as hearing the show, CatholicSportsRadio.net, I'm old-fashioned. I always start off with telling people the website. Now, they can either go there and see all the logos to go and listen instead through things like Apple Podcasts or Spotify or iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or if they're used to listening to podcasts, then almost anywhere that they listen to podcasts, the show is probably there. It was recently added to YouTube. Now, it's still just audio only, but YouTube is the biggest podcast discovery platform, so I'm really thrilled that Catholic Sports Radio has finally now made it onto YouTube so that people can, quote-unquote, listen to it through YouTube.
Good.
Oh, that's fantastic, Bruce. And listen, we want to thank you again for your time today, and we'll put the link there in the description if you can't see it. So if you want to follow Bruce, go out and check out his site. I'm actually excited to go out and go watch a lot of these past episodes, and Bruce, once again, anytime we have somebody takes time out of their life to spend time with us, it's greatly appreciated. And, you know, God bless you and keep doing what you're doing.
Bruce, we appreciate you being on. And again, it was a thrill for me to be on your show. So thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you both, guys. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Bruce. Talk soon.
All right.
Okay, everyone. Well, we hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. And as always, we appreciate the guests coming on and taking time. Steve, quick thoughts?
Great guy. I loved it, and I'm actually looking forward to going back and listening to a lot of these episodes. So.
All right. Okay. Again, we appreciate all you tuning in, and as always, thank you, Mom and Pop.